I'm going deep at the monocule. If it's the only thing I ever do, the car is where I sleep. Think that I might need a 62.
Welcome back to Any Given Monday. This episode is really informative. I mean, I know a lot of the financial stuff, but this was interesting. So we talked to one player who asked to remain anonymous, and then Tom Whitney. Both these players are on the Korn Ferry Tour, and you can just listen to them talk specific numbers about what it costs to stay out there. This is going to be part of a three-part series. We're going to do a separate one in about a month with some mini tour guys and then LPGA. So super informative, and it's a great insight into how much being out there costs and how quickly all of these costs can lead to losing money. It's a great look into all of the costs that go in there. So I appreciate both of them taking the time to do it and sharing their time. So quickly, a word from my wife, who's going to do the Good Walk Coffee, and then you'll hear from the two players.
This is Steph, or Mrs. Monday Q Info. I'm here and happy to tell you about Good Walk Coffee and what a great product it is. It's something I drink every day. I drink Good Walk Coffee on those early days that I'm headed to the hospital at 4 o'clock in the morning, and I drink it the rest of the week when I'm getting those kids off to school. It's a coffee that tastes great. It makes me happy. It's an awesome product. It's an awesome company that supports Ryan in all of the great work that he does. And so if you'd like to help support them, head over to goodwalkcoffee.com, enter the promo code FIREPIT, and get 20% off of your order.
Welcome back to Any Given Monday. Tom and I just talked for a couple minutes, but this is the first time I've had a repeat guest on. Tom Whitney, welcome back to Any Given Monday, and the original guest on Any Given Monday.
Oh boy, that's a lot of mounting pressure. Thanks for that intro, Ryan.
I need you to pull this off, Tom. I need you to be good. All right. We're talking Korn Ferry finances. We had another player on earlier to talk about it. So Tom is very good about keeping very detailed notes and detailed records about what he spends, and is very frugal, has stayed in my daughter's bedroom, the My Little Pony, to save money. Tom, thanks for doing it, first of all.
Yeah, no, my pleasure. It's something that I didn't even realize how crazy and complicated it was when I first started out playing golf. I mean, I was in the Air Force, and I was planning on getting out and starting my full-time golf career, and I saved up a whopping $5,000 in my, quote, golf checking account. And, we all know that lasts about 2 weeks. So, yeah, a little naivete on my part.
So let's talk. You've played mini tours, you've played Latin American tour, you've played Korn Ferry tour. What's the most expensive tour to start? What's your most expensive year?
So I was just running the numbers on 21, even though, we're not completely done with it, but it looks like 2021 will be my most expensive year. I think most of that has to do with paying my caddy, and now paying a swing coach and a fitness trainer. The caddy expense is up because I'm playing good golf. So that's, finally a good problem to have. But, for the most part, and I'm sure we'll get into this, it seems, at least so far in my career, mini tour level, developmental tour level, which is Form Tour, Latin, Mackenzie, and even Korn Ferry, they all kind of hover around the same spending point per week. It's just it differentiates on who you are actually paying and where that money's going towards.
First of all, let's start with, when do you usually get in, Monday or Tuesday? Obviously, there's some variance in that too, depending on where you're coming from. But
yeah, coming from tournament to tournament, it's usually Monday. Sometimes it can be Sunday if you finish, you know, midday and it's an easy nonstop flight on Sunday evening. And then it's kind of nice just to plan for a full day off on Monday. That's always nice. If you're coming from home after like a week break, sometimes I'll fly out Tuesday. Sometimes I'll fly out Monday, depending on if I was able to really practice at home or not. And then honestly, sometimes in between tournament weeks, Dallas will be kind of en route. So we're going West Coast to kind of East Coast, and I'll fly home to Dallas Sunday night and then fly to the course Tuesday. So just so I can see my family. So it all depends.
Are you a hotel guy, host housing guy? What are you? I mean,
yeah, I'm definitely a host housing guy, and the numbers that I give you kind of reflect a significant majority spent in private housing, whether that's provided by the tour. You know, I got assigned a member of the course that's opening their home. Part of that is me tapping into the Air Force fraternity and finding classmates that are in the areas that we're traveling to. So that's kind of cool when I can stay with old buddies that are in the area. Sometimes it's an Airbnb when I don't have either of those options. Mm-hmm. But yeah, I don't really like kind of being by myself in a hotel room. I know some guys love it and they look forward to that. And some guys do a mix of host housing and then they want a break, so they'll do a hotel the next week. It all kind of comes down to, you know, the specific player and what they enjoy doing.
So what you were talking about is that weeks on the Latin American tour are relatively the same as the Korn Ferry tour, because I assume that cost of, like, you don't obviously, or don't often, if ever, I don't know, like, have host housing in, like, say, Argentina. So the cost that you're spending on housing, you are saving on caddy, and then the Korn Ferry tour, you're spending that on caddy but saving on housing. Is that kind of what you're saying, is a week to week basis?
Yeah, that's spot on. So like Latin America, entry fees, I think, are $200. Flights are going to be a little more expensive because normally, or, you know, pre-COVID, you were flying from one country to another. And yeah, you're kind of stuck in a hotel. Sometimes there aren't a lot of options, so the hotel group discount isn't that significant. So you're looking at, you know, whatever, $100 a night, maybe sometimes the room's 150, you could split that two ways. So 75 a night, but yeah, your expenses are, a little higher on flights. You got that little couple $100 entry fee. Caddies are pretty cheap. They run 40 to 60 a day before tip down there. Food's usually pretty cheap and reasonable. And then, yeah, Korn Ferry, it's just kind of redistributed. So there are no entry fees. There's a registration locker room fee, which is minimal every week. But you're now playing with sponsors' money. So the people running the event, they're helping boost that purse instead of kind of playing with your own money. And then caddy fees, base pay is anywhere from, oh, I don't know, I've heard all the way down to 700 a week, mm-hmm. Base pay. Some guys are up to 1200 a week for the broad spectrum.
And then a percentage if you make the cut, Tom.
And then if you make the cut, yeah, some guys do a tiered percentage system with a higher percent up to 10% for a win. A cut made could be as low as 5% bonus. Some guys do a flat percentage across the board, no matter how they finish. But yeah, you could have a player missing a lot of cuts and his caddy is potentially netting more money than he is on the golf course.
Yeah. Well, you talked about a swing coach and a workout and a trainer and those kind of things. Like, as you've gone along in your career, Tom, is that just like some of the investment that you have to make? It's basically spend money to make money, just as in a lot of businesses. Like, you can't be overly frugal, like, or it's going to affect your play. Is that
yeah, totally. And I've even noticed a change in my spending where, you know, I may be able to hop on up in first class on a flight for an extra $100, and that's going to be totally worth it because I can actually spread out my legs or mm-hmm. fall asleep instead of being crammed in the back. And, you know, that's something that I never would have done my first year out on the mini tours, just because whether or not it was true in my mind, I didn't think I had the flexibility to spend that extra money, because you're thinking, man, if I had spent it on this upgrade, well, that's a half a flight or a full flight to my next event. And it's just kind of hard to justify. Now I'm starting to realize, being 7 years plus into my career, that, yeah, there could be a benefit of riding first class and being more rested upon arrival at the event. And, you know, I have a swing coach for the first time in my career, and I've been working with a fitness guy for the last 2 years, and just realizing that in order to play longer, more consistent golf, you kind of need these things. So yes, spend more to make more.
And how do those relationships work, Tom? Is any of that based on percentage, or is it just a flat fee of a weekly, or how often you work together, or how does that structure work?
Yeah, I'm not the best expert on this landscape, but I have talked to some players, and it sounds like there could be hourly guys that just go see a guy when they're at home and pay their regular rate. There could be guys that have a retainer and then a bonus percentage on top. There could be different fees for traveling to the tournaments. But yeah, there's definitely not a one-stop shop when it comes to the standard for paying coaches and fitness guys. And I think it depends on your relationship with them. I know some guys just use buddies or swing coaches that they've known since high school. So there's no standard for that.
All right. So what does a year on the Korn Ferry Tour cost?
I was kind of surprised by my number this last year, and it looks like it was just shy of 70,000. Now my caddy earned a pretty good chunk of that. But I also I stayed in like two hotels, man. So, mm-hmm. So that number doesn't include a potential of, you know, 700 a week if you're staying in a hotel by yourself. And yeah,
player I talked to was 86 in for last year. So,
okay. And you know, that along with private housing, you get the ability to eat at the house, for dinner that you're staying at, you know, or whatever meals aren't covered by the tournament, you can dine with them, or, you know, sometimes they'll take you out and want to treat you because they know the grind that you're on. I pay significantly less in housing and food across the board too. That number is, you know, I think the number has been in the 50s or maybe even low 60s previously.
Do you net a bigger percentage here, Tom? Like, so I know you and I have talked before about this, is like a big check in on Latin American tour, you often have to pay a percentage back to the country in taxes. Is that accurate?
So my 2019 season on Latin America, I earned most of my money earned, maybe it was around 60 grand, was in Argentina. And that was like the highest tax country on the entire tour. So I had a win and a second place, and then I won a Zurich bonus. And all of that got taxed like, 26% or something across
the top.
That's
before getting taxed here, right?
Correct. And I do know there is a foreign tax break. I don't know the specifics of if it's dollar for dollar. Yeah. Oh, you spent it in another country, so we're not going to tax you. Or I don't know how it works out. But all I know is my buddies who one in Mexico or, you know, other random countries got taxed zero, and yeah. I was getting taxed 26% off the top of these winnings.
So does, like, percentage wise, obviously dollar wise is more bigger in the Korn Ferry Tour. Percentage wise, at the end of, like, say you finished, like, of your cost, are you taking a bigger percentage home at the Korn Ferry Tour, or is it basically break even?
Because no, you're taking a bigger percentage, if I have your question right in my mind, just because there's more money to be earned. So if you're spending $2,500 to $3,000 a week on Latin, well, the most you can win is $31,500.
Yeah.
You know, you could win $100 on the Korn Ferry.
Yeah.
So I think that answers your question.
Yeah. So your biggest cost was caddy, right, by far?
Yes, it was.
And then what's next? I mean, Tom, what are, like, some costs that maybe people don't think about? I mean, protein bars or, airfare's got to be a huge one.
Yeah, so caddy was the biggest chunk. You know, again, it depends on what tour you're on. It looks like in 2019... you know, I spent almost $20,000 in flights, mm-hmm. flying around Latin America. Had another $12,000 in entry fees that could have been some mini tour events peppered in.
And was that mostly a mini tour season, Tom?
Yeah, in 2018, that was the year I had conditional status on Korn Ferry, so I was signing up for Monday qualifiers. I was playing on the APT tour. If I didn't get into Korn Ferry events.
I think that's a great look, Tom, right, into what it's like to have conditional status and how expensive it is, right? So, like, you might fly in Monday and then don't get in, change your flight to, like, say, go to Texas, like you talked about, the All-Pro Tour, or find a rental car or whatever. I mean, conditional status is, I would assume, outside of a caddy, way more expensive from a flight, those kind of things, because you just don't have any, like, there's no set plans, right?
If you're pursuing a PGA Tour Monday qualifier and aren't through the pre, then you are finding ways to pay for a Thursday qualifier, which has a Wednesday practice round. And then you're sitting around in a hotel, figuring out what to do in between the Monday qualifier, which could be on a different course. So another practice round on Sunday. And mm-hmm. yeah, the qualifying route when you either have conditional or no status. Yeah. There's a lot of, you could call it, like, excess fees, just because you're trying to attain status via so many different routes. And you got to survive on the mini tours, but you're paying these fees to hopefully get in these bigger tour events. And yeah, it just adds up quick.
So let's just talk specifically about your family. You have four kids. So, like, I mean, pro golf is not a money-making business until you're on one tour, and that's the PGA Tour for the most part. You just have to continually invest in your career, right, Tom? I mean, that's what you look at this as.
Oh, totally. Yeah. You know, when we have good months, we can either throw money into savings or in our investments, or we can see it as, just like you said, we are investing in me and my ability to yield a greater return in the future. And there's been times where we've had to pull money out of the stock market in order to invest more in me at the current time. Yeah, that's a great way of looking at it.
Yeah, I mean, the payoff, I mean, the purses increase this year, again next year on the Korn Ferry Tour. But at the end of the day, I mean, you're not going to make, especially with four kids at home, there's only one tour. I mean, there's always only one tour you want to be on, but you're not going to be able to make enough outside of, like, a great year that obviously includes a jump to the PGA Tour. To support, it's no place to support a family of four on the Korn Ferry Tour, no matter how good.
Sure. Yeah. We're definitely living within our means right now.
Perfect. To be fair, Tom is a great handyman. He builds a bunk bed, fixed my drawer while he was staying here. That was his rent for staying here. We thank him every time because that drawer was a pain in the ass prior to this. So, Tom, is there any other numbers that I'm not asking about that you would think that people who don't know costs would like to know?
Yeah, you know, I just, there's a lot of things that add up. I mean, the big categories are, I kind of lump things into caddy, entry fees. There's practice rounds. So basically anytime I have to pay to play on a golf course, that can be considered a practice round along with yardage books, to chart those courses. You got equipment. So, you know, range finders, golf equipment, clothing, whatever that is required to play golf, you know, it's lumped into that. And then you have all your fees. So that's tour fees, membership fees. You know, one, my taxes are pretty complicated now. So we have a CPA that we've hired on. So, so some of that fee can be deducted from that. It's just those kinds of things.
I think that's a great thing is how complicated. I mean, you have to file a tax return in every state that you earn money in, right?
Oh yeah. Yeah. I think my record is 12 state returns along with, a couple foreign returns in the same year. So yeah, that has an individual fee on top of each of those.
Yes. And every time I post about finances, somebody always says, well, they get to write it off, but it's not like it's dollar for dollar. It's not like if it was dollar for dollar, everybody would be staying in the Ritz. Like,
right.
I mean, it's not dollar for dollar. So yes, they get to write off some of this stuff, or all of this stuff, but it's still at the end of the day, it's not dollar for dollar.
Yep. Yeah. And in order to, be the most efficient on those expenses. I mean, there is a stark learning curve as far as what you can and cannot deduct. You know, if you have a place in your home that you strictly use when you're doing golf research, you could deduct that percentage off of the mortgage, rent, utilities, whatever. But, you know, you always got to be very careful at what you list as expenses. I just don't think that's a position you want to be in as a broke mini tour golfer.
If you're trying to like cheat the tax system, maybe mini tour golf is not for you because it's not the place to do it.
Yep. Yeah. So go find a good CPA or a buddy that majored in finance and get their perspective on what you can and can't expense for sure.
Tom, I mean, thank you for sharing. I think it's awesome. For those that don't know Tom's story, he was on No Laying Up podcast a while ago. It's an awesome one. He was on mine originally. You'd have to scroll way back. He was the original podcast. Go learn his story, his family story. Tom, let's talk a quick minute about your charity that is very close and important to you. Let's give it a plug because I think it's so important to so many people.
Yeah, sure. So, I wouldn't say it's my charity. It's just a charity that I love representing and being an ambassador for. It's actually a new name now. They are One Tribe Foundation. They used to be called 22 Kill. I think you can find them either way on Google. But they just raise awareness for specifically veteran mental illness, and their goal is at preventing veteran suicide. And I lost my brother, who was on active duty to suicide a couple years ago. And my pitch is for all those listening that aren't broke mini tour golfers, if you have some extra income and are looking for a place to donate towards the end of 2021, One Tribe Foundation would be a great cause. You know, they support, not only do they surround veterans that come off active duty and kind of lose their sense of purpose once they no longer have a mission or a unit or squadron to be a part of, and they just kind of, you know, lost hope that way. They surround them with like-minded people and keep them out of dark times. And they also support families that have been touched by suicide and have camps and counselors for spouses and kids, and they're just doing a whole lot of good out there.
Tom and I have been in touch for a long time. He stayed at my house. He's a great dude. I can't thank you enough for doing this. Look forward to a great year, and I'll see you. We'll see you in a week, in 2 weeks in Houston.
Yeah, sounds good. Looking forward to it. Thanks, Ryan. Right,
thanks to Tom. I think it's just great insight, and with four kids, just how hard it is for these guys. I mean, when you're talking about cashing out stocks and stuff that you have stored away to invest back into your career, just a great insight. And then, so the next guest is not going to give his name, and I can't thank him enough for coming on, but he had conditional status, and so you'll see how much more money he spends from the standpoint of he doesn't do a lot of host housing, and also from the money perspective, he has to go to a lot of Mondays. He can't plan 2-3 weeks in ahead like Tom could. So it's just really good and to see the two ends of the perspective. So you actually are paying more and making less. So thanks again to Tom. Great insight. And then on to the next player who's going to kind of give another perspective and talk about the money that he has spent over the year. So without further ado, here he is.
In a normal year, you go to Bahamas to start, at least of late. You go to the Bahamas for 2 weeks and then South America for 2 weeks. Like what? I mean, that's just a huge hit to the pocketbook, like right after Q School. I mean, so to give some people some insight, Q School used to run through like almost December. So you're $6,000 in just entry fees, probably $10,000 in all in if you, depending on what stage you started in. And now you're like right. 4 weeks not in the United States. So can we just, let's just start with that initial like cost of what the first 4 weeks look like.
Well, obviously at Q School, you're hoping to make some cash back. You finish in that top 35, get a little head start. But yeah, so Bahamas, Exuma is probably the most expensive event of the year. Any way you cut it, even if you Airbnb, you're looking at having to rent a car, and the rental cars are nightmares there. So you kind of almost just bite the bullet and try to stay either at the host hotel or the one right next door, which was, I think it's called the Grand Isle or something like that. It's not the Sandals, but it's right next door. But yeah, you're looking at a, you know, the two Bahamas events, you're looking at probably 1,200 in flights for each one. They did do a charter flight in between the last couple of years, which has been nice. It's 250 or 300 bucks. That kind of saves from having to like, because, you know, you're on those little islands. You're going island to island. You got to go either to Nassau or go back to the USA to go to the other one. So that was a nice thing. Yeah, you're looking at Exuma's hotel. I mean, you're looking at if you split it with somebody, you're still probably in for $1,000 or $1,200 just for your share. Caddies, so, there's no local caddies in the Bahamas. You got to bring your own.
So what's that arrangement like? I mean, do they just understand that? I mean, for the people who don't know, like, is that just, do you make it a special arrangement with a caddy? Like, or do you find a friend and say, hey, I'll pay for your flight and you can, I mean, or do you just play it year by year?
Yeah, that's a great question. So a lot of our normal Korn Ferry guys that follow the tour, I would say not many of them would go to those two events just because of the cost. So you're looking at maybe, you know, you got a handful of girlfriends or wives on the bag, maybe some dads, some friends, certainly, maybe like other pros that are maybe no status or whatever. They don't have anything going on. Cause you know, that kind of year, even with the developmental tours, there's not a ton going on in January. So I know in the past there's actually been, I think it was the year I played the Latin tour, there was a couple guys, a couple buddies of mine actually wanted me to come do those two. I decided not to because I wanted to play some other stuff. But yeah, a lot of those kind of arrangements with friends, stuff like that. Like, hey, come stay with me. I'll take care of the room. It's a nice couple, you know, you're in the Bahamas. So like, yeah, you're caddying, but you do get a lot of free time. You know, you can go to the beach and stuff like that too while you're there. So there's no week in between Bahamas, but we just start them on, they start Sunday to Wednesday.
Right. Yeah.
So there is kind of like a mini break between the second Bahamas event and the Panama or Colombia, which they kind of every couple of times like switch the first one. But historically, Panama was always first. So you'd always, it's a weird like some guys would go to Panama, like stay to in Abaco till Thursday or Friday, have a couple nice relaxing days, maybe go to Panama on Saturday. But like being in Florida, you know, it's easy for me to just come back home and then fly over to Panama on Monday or Tuesday morning, you know, and kind of give myself a nice like 4 or 5 day break on that.
So let's talk about those four just because they're outliers. Like at the end of the, obviously there's variation in players. You can go down to Bermuda and get a guy who doesn't know like what hardly what a golf bag is and pay him $50 a round to caddy for you or whatever. But there's some variation in it, like all in after those four events to come back to the States, just because they're so different than the other events. What are you out like roughly?
I'd say each Bahamas event is probably close to $3,000, probably $2,500 to $3,000. And then you're looking, you know, the other two actually, surprisingly, Ryan, are not the Panama and Colombia are not as expensive as you would think they are. Cause you can usually get a decent, well, I mean, I say that I'm in Florida. I can get pretty decent flights from Orlando or any of the South Florida guys down there. And those places, the hotels and Airbnbs are very cheap and the caddies are very cheap. So, but I'd say that the first two will definitely ding you for $3,000 a piece. You can probably get out of the next two for
Is that $3,000 with a caddy or like all expenses? Yeah.
Yeah. Like let's say you did bring a caddy and you just paid his expenses like a friend caddy. And if you didn't do that, let's say one of the tour caddies went, you might pay him, and instead of paying him maybe 900 or 1,000, you might offer to give him, hey, I'll give you 2,500 for both weeks to kind of like help him first. Cause you know, if you want the guy to go with you and, and maybe see how it is.
Obviously you think enough of them to like pay him a little extra for those weeks.
Yeah. Like I've always done that. Like, or, you know, even like I missed the cut in Exuma, I think a couple times, and I just went ahead and gave my guy a little more anyways, like, hey, you know, this is like, I want you to be comfortable. I don't want you to be like broke in the fifth week of the year, you know, cause you can't get back to the States, you know?
But
no, honestly, like the Panama and Bogota are surprisingly pretty reasonable. You know, I had that 1 year on the Latin tour, which the flights is really what gets you down there. Cause you can find cheap hotels and cheap Airbnbs. You do condos with four or five players and you know, it's pretty reasonable, you know? But yeah, there's no really cheap way to do Exuma unless you have a place there, or I know there's been a few guys, they've got a connection with a yacht or a boat and they just stay on that. But
must be nice. All right. Let's talk like a typical US event. I mean, and again, to give some people some insight, there's a lot of cities that are like pretty obscure on the Korn Ferry Tour. It's not like you're flying into like major metropolis. So like Springfield, Illinois is pretty, only because I live in Illinois, like pretty out of the way. There's not much to do. Like, so you're flying, you live in Florida, you fly. What's a flight? I mean, $300.
I'm trying to remember where we were the week before.
I think it went Springfield. I don't know where it was before that. Yes.
I think So I flew from Denver. We were in Denver playing Springfield and then Springfield. So I flew Denver to Springfield, Missouri first to rent a car for both weeks. And then I drove on that Monday because I got a direct flight. Yeah. My direct flight from Denver to the first Springfield was about $250. And my flight home after the second Missouri Springfield home would have been about $350, but I had a different arrangement. I went to a pro-am, but yeah, so we're basically looking at about a $600 to get into those two events and then out, you know, so $300 a week is about right.
I think that's an interest of me. And I think of people of interest of people listening is like, how far ahead do you, like that is a perfect example. Like obviously you are at least 2 to 3 weeks ahead thinking like, hey, I can fly to Springfield and drive to the other Springfield and then come back and end up there. Like how many weeks ahead do you kind of think as a traveling pattern?
So this year was quite different with COVID and rental cars. There's not really, it started to get a little better towards the end where you could just pull up the app and get a one way pretty easily, a rental car. But it's been tough. So like in past years, I would typically try to be as convenient as possible. I would just fly to the first event and then I can figure it out. Like I'll just take my car back and get a one way if it's close and drive, you know, whereas you couldn't get a one way for any kind of price, or even some of them wouldn't even give you one. So this year was definitely 2 to 3 to 4 weeks ahead, trying to figure out maybe where I'm leaving my car. When we were on the East Coast, left my car, you know, in the Knoxville, Nashville a few times. drove from Knoxville to Raleigh, flew to Chicago, flew back to Raleigh type stuff, kind of to try to have my car. Cause you know, being in Florida, we had, you know, that whole East Coast deal, I can pretty much drive those, you know, mm-hmm. with Savannah, Destin, Raleigh, Greenville, stuff like that. But yeah, to answer your question, 2 to 3 weeks minimum for me. I like to feel comfortable with, I don't always do like my lodging arrangements that mm-hmm. far ahead because, you know, that sometimes will play out differently. But as far as like my flight, my car plan for that, like Monday, you know, knowing what that plan is Sunday night or Monday, where my exit plan and getting to the next one, I like to have that down pat just because it saves you money and time. You know, this year was tougher for me until the end because I was doing a lot of Mondays and being on the bubble for getting yeah. in. So that was another kind of pain in the butt. But that's mm-hmm. why I was a lot of times trying to get wherever I was. I had a flight Sunday to as close as I could get to the next place just to kind of get myself that direction for whatever mm-hmm. I needed to do.
Mm-hmm. So flight, or just like, I mean, obviously, again, variation. There's going to be $150 flights. There's going to be $450 flights. So 300, is that a fair like average over the year, 250?
Yeah, I'd say so. Like if you're doing a lot of one ways just week to week, yeah, you're looking between – if you do them ahead of time enough, yeah, you're looking 150 to 250 to 300 somewhere mm-hmm. in there. Like, and then like another example, like Springfield, Illinois, I know the year before I flew to, cause we played in Chicago the week after at Chicago Highlands. I flew to Chicago O'Hare first and I just rented a car, yeah. drove down to Springfield right. and drove back to O'Hare and then Chicago and left it. So stuff like that. If you're within 2 hours of a major airport, sometimes it's worth it just to fly there and then you maybe not won't have to connect on your flight. Gives you more options getting out of there too. But, you know, like you said, some of the places were pretty obscure. If you just want to connect into that little airport, it might add $200 or $300 more, you know, looking at a $500 one way or something like that. So
I think this is a great place to ask this question because I think a lot of people, or some people for sure, think that like Korn Ferry guys have somebody doing their travel for them. Like what percentage are you doing yourself, girlfriend? I know you have an agent. Like what? I mean, are you doing a lot, most of it your own?
When I first got on the tours in 2015, I did a little bit and then, I'd had my agent do some, you know, cause I knew the schedule. Like the last few years, I haven't really known my schedule and I've, instead of him checking on stuff and then having to get back to me yeah. and then go back and book it, I just do a lot of stuff. You know, when mm-hmm. I do stuff through the PGA Tour travel agency, they'll forward me the email and they'll forward my agent just so he knows where I'm at in case he's got to yeah. change something when I'm on the course or whatever, yeah. you know, or if I'm not available. So, but yeah, I would say over the years, as I've gotten older, I take more control just because I know where I want to stay and what yeah. times I want to fly and which airlines and hotels I want to use, you know, in that regard.
So what kind of hotel, I assume you have points somewhere, but like what's the type of hotel you're staying? I mean, are you staying like Holiday Inn Express type? I mean, $100 a night sure. is where you want to be around?
Yeah. I mean, typically if I'm by myself, and another one, like as I've gotten a little bit older, I enjoy Airbnbs with other pros, but if I'm going to do a hotel, sometimes I just like to be on my own. But yeah, I'm in the 85 to 110 range if I'm by myself. I mean, I'd prefer if I'm over 100 to split the room with somebody, but yeah, yeah. I've been doing a lot of Marriott's the last couple of years because I have the credit card and with them and also the Holiday Inn. I like the IHG and the Marriott. It's consistent. I feel like you get better value for your points as time goes. You know, every now and then I'll just cash in a whole free week, you know, with my points. And just that feels great when you're, you know, you get a, you know, let's say you have your own car that week and you just cash in points for a free week. You feel like all you're doing is paying your caddy, you know, mm-hmm. and eating. So,
yeah.
But yeah, to answer your question, yeah, if it gets above 100, I don't like to do more than a week by myself, you know, without splitting yeah. somebody. Every now and then, I can get a little MMF on the friends and family Marriott, yeah, yeah. yeah, which yeah. is nice. Not all the time, but every now and then I can get that one dialed in. So,
all right, the biggest cost that I can think of is caddy. Like a regular Korn Ferry caddy is $1,000 roughly, right? I mean,
If you get a guy in the parking lot on a Monday or Tuesday, you know, you can probably, you know, make a deal with him, maybe a little less up front, 800, you know, and then maybe offer him a little more if you have a good week, you know, just to get him. But Yeah, I mean, if you have a guy for a while, a lot of players will pay their guy $1,000, $1,100, or maybe start at 900. I've heard, you know, starting at 900 and maybe each top 20 or top 10, you maybe bump his weekly up, even in addition to his, you know, percentage, but say, hey, every good week we have, we'll go up a little bit. And that kind of gives both of you an incentive to keep working hard and keep holding each other accountable. Because you want your caddy to be comfortable. You know, you don't want him to feel like he's
if you like a guy, you want to find whatever number that is to, like, you know.
Yeah.
I mean, it's an investment, right? I mean, basically. Yeah. If you like a guy.
And I think they all get it too. Like, they understand that, you know, if you're playing really well out there, you're making some decent money. But if you're kind of middling and, you know, struggling, they know that you're getting hurt pretty bad too. So they, but, you know, it's just one of those things. Yeah. Everybody kind of wants to be comfortable. So it's like, it's just got to be a tough conversation sometimes. If it's not working out, it's not working out. But, you know, you want to have everybody on the same page, because that's how you want, you know, you want the good emotions and the good, you know, the good teamwork, I guess, going forward, you know.
What's the percentage? So for those that don't know, usually most players have a percentage breakdown after they made the cut. So base salary plus some sort of percentage. What's a rough percentage that you go off of?
The old school way, I guess, was mostly, especially on tour, I've heard a lot of 5-7-10. 5% made cut, 7 top 10, 10 for a win. Majority of the time I've done just 8 and 10, like 8, you know, on the Corn Ferry, it's like, it's not that big a deal.
The difference between 25th and 65th is like 60 bucks. 45th,
you know, and you say, hey, man, we'll just do 8%. Like, you know, I'm not going to – it might help him fill up his gas tank to get to the next week. You know, it's like you're hoping everyone benefits from the big weeks. You know, the caddy makes out well. The player makes out well. Everybody's happy. So, but the middling weeks and the weeks you're not doing so great, you know, you want everybody to be able to survive and come – into the next week with an open mind and a
good attitude for the most part. Yeah.
Like a little bit of juice. You know, like, all right, hey, we didn't have a great week or whatever happened, like, but hey, we're here this week and let's do it, you know, type thing. So,
all right. So, like meals, I mean, for those, again, I keep saying this, but for those that don't know, there is player dining do you actively try to eat as many meals there, or just how it fits in your schedule?
Yeah, it's more so of how it fits in the schedule. You know, I think how they do it on our tour. So I think Monday morning there's no breakfast because not a lot of guys are there yet on Monday morning. Mm-hmm. I think they start it with lunch on Monday. Typically Monday is not much, maybe some sandwiches and stuff. Like, so I guess I could go into if I'm teeing off late in the tournament round, I'm obviously not going out there to eat breakfast unless I'm staying like at the course, which that's rare. Because then, you know, our rules, you're actually supposed to be in your golf clothes if you're in player dining. Some of these younger guys, I've noticed, they've gotten away with it a little bit. It's just a matter of which rules official walks in and who's wearing what. Yeah. You know, I've seen some guys get scolded for gym shorts and t-shirts.
Yeah, yeah.
Whether or not they're just coming in to get food. But yeah, so obviously tee off early, I'm getting breakfast there and I'm going to eat lunch there too, unless I go in there and I don't really like what they got. Mm-hmm. You know, then I might just go grab something like Firehouse, you know, 10 bucks for lunch or something somewhere nearby. Typically Tuesday to Sunday, I'm pretty much breakfast and lunch at the course. You get some weekend rounds that are weird where you maybe start at like 10 or 11.
Yeah. It's like miss everything.
You get the breakfast maybe, but it's kind of late. So you might eat breakfast, you know, then you didn't really eat the lunch either. So like some of those days are weird where you don't get any meals. And then you get done at like 4 and you're like, man, I don't know if I should eat now because I'm going to eat dinner in a little bit, you know? So those are the weird ones. But typically Tuesday to Sunday, breakfast and lunch at the course, except for the day that I tee off in the afternoon. Then I'll either eat at the hotel or maybe I'll sleep in and go get a big brunch, maybe 10 or 11 o'clock type thing by the hotel.
So like what's a typical week or typical season, whatever's easiest for you? Like what is a full season cost or a full week cost, like roughly?
For meals, or are you talking everything?
In general, like all in. And I mean, is there any expenses, main expenses on like health insurance? I mean, what am I missing that is like a huge expense for you?
So if you've got full status and you're under a certain age with the tour, you get – they have pretty good health coverage. If you're conditional, you can purchased their plan. I chose this past couple years to get my own plan. It's a couple hundred bucks a month, I think, $250 a month, something like that. Let me pull up my sheet here. 2019. All right, so here's my 2019. My total expenses for the year with golf related. This is nothing, no like rent or anything
else.
Yeah,
right.
This is just strictly golf course expenses. Travel. It was $86,000 in 2019.
And roughly how many events did you play? Do you remember? Like 25?
That year, I want to say I played 22 or 23. Mm-hmm. I played.
And some Mondays in there, I'm sure, or something.
So that year I had full status. I think I played all but two regular season events. I think mm-hmm. I skipped two. With Mondays that year, I did a few tour Mondays, but
yeah.
Typically like with playing a full web schedule or Korn Ferry schedule, I would only do the couple that we have in those big gaps in the beginning of the year. And then maybe in the fall, I'll do like Houston and like RSM, you know, I don't, you know, it's been one of those things I've questioned myself whether I should be doing more PGA Tour Monday qualifiers, but
yeah.
Like weird when you have a card on the Korn Ferry, you kind of feel like that's your path, you know. So it's, I try to put that first, you know, and then do the PGA tours when I can fill it in that way.
What's the like? So 86. I mean, do you look at that number and go like, I mean, there has to be a balance, right? Of like, you can't shave. I mean, this is what I'm asking more than telling. Like, you can't shave every dollar. You can't just be like. Or it's going to hurt you on the course, right? You can't split the room three ways and not get any sleep. You can't like stay at a Motel 6 and people are playing loud music next to you. I mean, you have to find a balance of investing in yourself and keeping a reasonable number. I mean, that number doesn't equal, you'd have to finish whatever 20th on the money list to break even. So like,
yeah,
I mean, the carrot's always the PGA Tour, right? I mean, yeah, like, I mean, a good season out there makes up for it, but it sucks when you're in the middle of it, I assume.
Yeah, you couldn't be more, you're dead on. I mean, like, as you go through the year, like, I mean, obviously, like, yeah, I'm paying attention to it, but I don't get really too involved with, I don't like to look at the credit card statements. I don't like to look at that stuff as much because I feel like it doesn't do me any good. You know, I trust my ability, and I feel like every week you're in a sense, yeah, you're investing or gambling even on yourself. You know, mm-hmm. you're hoping that each week you're like, all right, I'm spending this to hopefully make a nice profit with a good week of golf. And then that good week of golf in the future, hopefully leads to more good golf. You know, it's like we've seen it, you know, your account is so great for just showing like how quick things can change and how one or two weeks and it's like life changing, you know, so mm-hmm. then you don't even have to worry about it, you know? So it's one of those things, like what I was kind of getting at was, you know, you spent 86 grand in 2019 and you don't really think you're spending that much, you know, like you don't think. You know, you think like, oh, I probably spent like 50 or 60 or 70, you know, like, and yep. then when you add it all up, you're like, man, like, think if you got hurt or if you missed like 10 cuts in a row, yeah. like, then that's when you think about it. But like, you know, if you're playing well, I think that year, I think I finished 84th on the money list. So I got to go back to final stage. You know, I came out at the end of the year, like, I got money in my account still. I'm going to finals, like I got somewhere to play, worst case, like I've got my card, you know? And mm-hmm. so, but yeah, I mean, it's certainly one of those things, like, you know, this past long season was much more of a struggle. Like, I feel like I played well, but yeah, that's as far as financially, it was like, you know, it was, man, I'm getting better, but I'm losing money here, you know?
Yeah. And I mean, just again, like, as a fan, but like I caddied for Mark at the Barracuda. We went to Rite Aid, right? Like, he bought a couple of bottles of water. We bought protein bars for the next day. He had a blister, so he bought like some cream and some stuff. And then we get up there and you're like, 86 bucks. And you're like, whoa, dude. And like, you do that, you know, you do that 26 times a year. And now all of a sudden you're like at $3,000.
That was quite a chunk, Mark. 86.
Well, dude loves protein bars.
Dude, I mean, I'll go in there. You know, you won't believe. Like, I mean, it's almost every week you're in the CVS or the Walgreens near the hotel, and you don't even think about it. But yeah, you're because like you're traveling in a suitcase. I mean, I guess if you've got your car, like you can put more stuff in your car, but when you're flying, I mean, there's only so many things you can take. So like when you're packing your bag to leave the hotel to fly to the next one, you might not throw it
for bottles of water. You just buy new ones.
Or you might not throw the box of Ziploc bags you bought for the peanut butter and jellies in there. You're like, oh shit, I forgot those in the last hotel. And then you got to spend $3 more on, you know, But yeah, you're pulling through a CVS or a Walgreens at least once a week at every tournament to get your little snacks or your maybe you need some Advil or maybe
Tylenol. Exactly. Yeah,
you know, you might need some what do you call it? The NyQuil or something if you got you need to go to sleep or whatever. Yeah, you're right.
I mean, that's the little stuff that just people have no. I mean, again, even the little bit I've been on the road lately, it's like you're at an airport, you're like, oh, I need a newspaper.
When I do those charges. So I go through like most of those and I can tell when it says like CVS or Walgreens at the end of the year. I know it's not food, so I don't categorize it as food, even though some of it might be like bars and stuff. It's not like it's not like a meal. So I categorize that as miscellaneous expenses. So all my miscellaneous that year was $1,260. So that's what I spent probably in the Walgreens, or that's maybe like a couple of the out of the country. Take your stuff to the laundry down the street in Bogota, you know, for $30 your laundry or whatever, you know, Panama, drop off all your clothes, get them washed. Like that's, I mean, that's, you're right. There's another $1,200 that you don't even think like, you just don't even hesitate. You're like, well, I need bars. I need waters. I need Gatorades. I need maybe a 6-pack of Bud Light, you know,
whatever. I'm on the road for a long time. All right, so let's translate this to close it up, like how it transfers to playing, because that's at the end of the day, that's the most important thing. Like, guys on the Korn Ferry Tour, for the most part, obviously there's people with family money out there that don't need money or who made money on the PGA Tour and are now back on the Korn Ferry Tour that not really financially, but I assume it's just impossible to like completely block that out. I'm sure you like learned enough to like block it out a little bit, but. Like you realize what putts are for and like what it means financially and those kind of things, I assume, right?
Yeah, I would say it's like I might have two different answers kind of depending on which way we would kind of go to this question that you asked. So, yeah, like the first part of it is kind of, you definitely have to block out like the fact that like you're playing for this or where you're at financially or this, that, because it's not going to help you. So you have to just go into it as best you can with open mind and hey, just let's have a good week of golf and it'll take care of itself. You just kind of have to keep telling yourself that. But then at the other end of the spectrum was kind of more where I kind of fought myself the last couple of years was, you know, pre-COVID 2020, if we don't have the COVID shutdown, I feel like I would have played every event. And because of the shutdown, I didn't get into, I wouldn't have got in Lafayette, but I would have gotten in Lake Charles and I would have reshuffled for Savannah and probably off I went, wouldn't have to worry about quality. You know, I just felt like I would have gotten in those next four events. So if I make a couple more cuts, there I go. Instead, when we restarted, a bunch of the tour guys came down, bumped a lot of conditional guys out. Then those starts when we got them in the summer, Utah, Colorado, became very necessary to make the cut. And that was where I think I missed 3 or 4 cuts by a shot out of 5. And it's like, then I find myself as an alternate for the playoff events that weren't playoffs, but, you know, the upper level points events. I'm on the outside looking in of those. So it wasn't more really so much of a financial, like, gosh, I'm just losing. You know, it was
it's
more
a career about, wise, like you just keep getting farther and farther behind the eight ball and builds that pressure up for the next start, right?
Opportunities just kept barely sliding by. I actually made 2 double bogeys in my last 3 holes in Mexico prior to COVID. That made me finish. I think I finished 28th or 30th in the whole week. I was in the top 10. So like that weighed on me the entire shutdown of I'm not going to get in these first 2 in Florida. And had I just played decent there, I would have gotten in Sarasota. Like if I just don't, you know, just make a few pars, you finish 15th, you might be in there. You know, it was just one of those you just kicking yourself and then you keep falling behind and you're like, man, this season will never end. I just want to start over. So I don't feel like I'm 7,000 points behind. But
yeah. And I mean, I think it was great. We played with Mark and I played with Justin in the Shriners Monday, and it's great insight, obviously for a different reason, like just because the Korn Ferry member card is basically a half a card, as we've talked about. Yeah. And it's like, I mean,
it's the Korn Ferry Platinum card, right?
Yeah, exactly. It's like, I was like, hey, Justin, when's the next event? Obviously, he's not getting into the next two. They're like limited fields. And he's like, I'm five out here. I'm three out here. I'm seven in there. And like, you know, for the next four events, like already that pressure is already there. Because you know, but I mean, it's the same thing you face, just in a different way. It's like, you know where you stand, and it's impossible to say, like, I'm going to block it out and just play golf. Like, you know, might be your only start for four weeks.
Yeah, there was so many moments there, like, you know, during when we restarted, that I'm just like, I'm first alternate on the tee. Like, three times during 2020, didn't get in first alternate. Like, I was in Portland. Here's one for you. I'm in Portland. Missed the cut by a shot, had my agent on the bag. We had a great first round, didn't play that great the second round, but didn't play bad. I missed the cut by one. And I'm like 12th alternate for the Boise, which is the first elevated event, even though it's a regular season. Yeah. I said, Drew, what do you think? My agent, I said, he's like, yeah, you're not, he's like, you're not getting in. Go, you know, so I fly home Saturday. I'm in Jacksonville. I'm still living in Jacksonville at the time. So I'm working out with my trainer there at TPC, and get a call from Kathy Mobley at like 10 o'clock on Tuesday in the morning. I'm like, I see Kathy Mobley. I'm like, just start shaking my head. I'm like, this isn't good, because I know what this call is.
Yep.
He's like, hey, Brian, hope you're doing well. I just wanted to let you know that you're second alternate. And I'm like, 10 guys, huh? 10 guys pulled out of a playoff event since Saturday. So she goes, what are you going to do? I said, I'm not coming unless I'm one. You know, as two, I'm not coming all the way back out there. But if I'm one, I'm coming. So sure enough, I go work out for an hour. I'm literally like, I tell Alex, I'm joking. I'm like, I might be going to Boise today or tomorrow. Like, I don't know yet. And sure enough, she calls me like 2 hours later. Your first alternate. What are you going to do? I said, I'm coming. I mean, what else can I do? I got to go. I know I'm not getting in. At that point in my life, I was 0 for 6 as first alternate.
Yeah.
So
yeah.
I'm 0 for 7 now, still haven't gotten in. So. There's another aspect to financial stuff that tacked on this past year or so. Those weeks where you're there and you're preparing to play the tournament, you're not getting any tee-up money because you didn't get in the tournament, but you still have to be there until Thursday. Now you're in no man's land. You're kind of like, shit, you know?
So,
I'd say that's probably the most painful, is being that. Like, a lot, nobody would, like, most people don't understand that every week that happens on every tour, there's even the little tour.
I mean, there's,
people fly to South America as first alternate for a Latin event. You're like,
because
they're looking for a place to play. You know, they know that they can pull Hayden Buckley or whatever, you know.
Yeah. So, I mean, David Coker was first alternate in China in 2019. I mean, the guy, like, he went over to China to sit there. I mean, like, when he flew, he wasn't in. And, like, went to the Monday, missed, I think, and then got in and eventually won the event. But it's like, dude, when you have status, I mean, if you're invested in your career, that's what it is. Like, you gotta go.
What was so cool for me is, like, you know, I don't know Hayden that well, but we were playing a couple swing thoughts in like January, February in Florida, and I see him at Mission Inn. It was one of the ones that got canceled for somebody got COVID, and then we had to cancel it, whatever. But I see Hayden, you know, we're talking, he's like, yeah, man, I finished off well there in the first half of the last half of the previous year. He goes, I'm not even in Sarasota. I go, shit, dude. But it's just so cool to see him do that morning, because I've been that guy, and it hasn't happened for me, but I've told myself that you could get in this tournament. Even though I've had the no luck getting in, I'm like, I keep telling myself, I could get in and I could play well, and this could be the difference in changing everything around. I mean, I think Charlie Saxon a few years ago got in Sarasota. Steve Marino pulled out it was kind of cold. His back was tight. Charlie gets in and didn't win, obviously, but he finished top 15 or 20, and that was like shuffled him in for the whole year. So, like, you have to – when you see Hayden do what he did, it's like – it just kind of ingrains that, like, you're thinking the right way, because it will, it could happen, and it's, you know, it's possible. So,
yeah, I mean, as a fan, and this obviously ties back into financial, because I mean, Hayden's going to be a millionaire by the end of the week. So, like,
I know.
ties back into financially is like everyone that I've ever met, and there's plenty of guys on many tours that have no right to believe this, but everyone that I've come in contact with that's out there believes that they can be Hayden Buckley or Doc Redman or whatever. And if you don't, there's no sense of being out there, I assume.
No, yeah. I mean, exactly. If you don't, I think I heard somebody talk about this on a podcast recently. It's like, if you're 1 foot in and 1 foot out, you need to be out. You know, you got to be, you're all in because you're willing to do whatever it takes, you know, to make it. So.
Sounds good. Thank you very much. It's so hard to do an exit without a name. I don't know how to do an exit, but thanks, dude. I really appreciate it.
Thanks, Ryan.
Just really great insight. Thanks again to both of those guys. I mean, it's just crazy how much money is spent doing it. Airfare, rental cars, things you don't think about. I mean, between the guys, we talked about $86,000 and $70,000 dollars they spent last year. And so it just shows how quickly that money disappears. And so when you see a big number by someone's name about their spot on a money list, how quickly most of that goes out. And then when you go to the PGA Tour, those costs even increase, paying more for caddies, paying more for hotels, those kind of things. So thanks again for them to sharing it. Thank you everybody for listening. And until next week, this is Any Given Monday. Thanks so much.